God issues a challenge. Now let me personalize this challenge that he puts out. Whose words shall stand, mine or yours? That word stand, the third definition given of that in the dictionary is to remain valid, effective, or unaltered. And that's what it means there. Whose word shall stand, mine or yours? How would you answer that question? Whose word will stand? God's or yours? I say it's going to rain tomorrow. How do you know whose word shall stand? If it rains tomorrow, my words stand. If you disagreed with me, your words fall. The Denver Nuggets are going to win tonight. You're not a fan, Gavina? She's going, no. And you say, no, they're not. Whose words will stand, Gavina? We'll see tomorrow, won't we? Don't worry, I'm not a big fan of either the Heat or the Nuggets, but I could at least tell you who they're playing. If my words stand, yours fall. If yours stand, mine fall. If your word stands and God's falls, whose words stand? Yours did. But that'll never happen. It'll never happen. Most Christians would say, well, whose word shall stand, mine or God's? Well, God's will. Why? Well, you're expected to say that. You're expected to say that. Here it is in Jeremiah 44:28. Here's where it's stated very clearly. The remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. I'd like you to see it. Please turn there. Jeremiah 44, verse 28. All the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt. By the way, they were not to go to Egypt. God warned them, don't go. All the remnant who go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. Let's get a little bit of background to this because there's God's challenge. They're going to know whose words are going to stand, but let's look at the background here. All of Scripture is full of warnings. Why? Our sinful nature. We need to be constantly warned what takes place when we go our own way, when we do our own thing. So let's look at the warning words of the Lord. The background, go back to chapter 40 of Jeremiah. I'm going to try to explain his history as quickly as possible. In chapter 40 and verses 2, 3, and 4, the captain of the guard took Jeremiah. This is the captain of the guard of those carried away to Babylon. God, in his judgment upon Judah, said, okay, the Babylonians are going to take you. They're going to take you captive. And they take Jeremiah, verse 2, and said unto him, the Lord thy God hath pronounced evil, this evil upon this place. Now, the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing has come upon you. You know, it's interesting. When the unsaved recognize why bad things happen to Christians. And here's this unbelieving guard saying to Jeremiah, you know why this is happening to you, Walt? Of course, Jeremiah knows this. It's because you guys have sinned against the Lord. But now notice what this guard says to Jeremiah in verse 4. And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, don't or forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee, whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go. thither, go. Jeremiah had a choice among all the captives. They said to him, you can either stay or go. Everybody else, for the most part, had to go to Babylon. 1,000 miles. Jeremiah could stay if he so chose. Well, that was God's will for him to stay. For those who stayed in Judah, verse 6, Jeremiah went unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Jeremiah chose to stay. Gedaliah is the man mentioned there who's governing. Go to chapter 41, verses 1 and 2. See what happens to Gedaliah. Now it came to pass, chapter 41, verse 1, in the seventh month, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. So the one the Babylonians had set as governor of the land, under his authority, Jeremiah is submitting, Ishmael and his crowd came and killed him. Well, they killed the one the Babylonians put there to be in authority. What do you think is going to happen to those people? What do you think the Babylonians are going to do to them? Well, the remnant, fearing that the Babylonians are going to come and they're going to attack them and thinking, you're the ones who killed Gedaliah, the one we did here, they're led by Johanan and they fight Ishmael, the murderer. Ishmael flees. But fearing repercussions from Babylon for something they did not do, the remnant does what we read in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 41. Verse 17, and they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem. Would you read those next words with me at the end of that verse? To go to enter into Egypt. Where do you think they're planning to go? To go to enter into Egypt. They've packed their bags. They're ready to go to Egypt. God has already said, don't go, don't go. But their bags are packed. Why? Verse 18, because of the Chaldeans. For they were afraid of them because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon made governor in the land. So in chapter 42, these people, this remnant who has already set everything in motion to go to Egypt, they come to Jeremiah and they're going to ask him. Verse 1 of chapter 42, then all the captains of the forces and Johanan the son of Kareah and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing we may do. Jeremiah, please go to the Lord and ask him what he wants us to do. Oh, isn't this pious? And I can put it this way because we're going to find out what's really in their heart. But they're putting on this air of, oh, piousness. Oh, would you please ask the Lord what we're supposed to do? Verse 4, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Now listen to their answer in verse 5. Then said they to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. There's their request, verses 1 through 4, verses 5 and 6. There's their stated determination. Now let's look at God's answer. Verses 10 and 11 of chapter 42. If you will abide still in this, if you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I've done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Okay, here they are. They're ready to go to Egypt. We saw that in 41:17. Bags are packed. They're ready to go. They come to Jeremiah. What should we do? Jeremiah says, unpack your bags. Don't go to Egypt. Stay here. Don't fear the king of Babylon. God's going to take care of you. And they said, we will do whatever God's... Jeremiah, whatever God tells you, we're going to do it. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been in that place where you've come up with a decision and you said, Lord, I will do whatever you say? This happens with young people when it comes to who they marry. Lord, I'll do whatever you say. In the back of their mind, as long as it's what I want. I'll do whatever you say, oh Lord. But in the back of their minds, they've already made their decision. It's kind of what's happening here. You see, when you go to chapter 43 and look at verses 10 through 13, God had already planned judgment on Egypt where they want to go. Via Babylon. And so God, through Jeremiah, tells them, don't go to Egypt, stay here in Judah. So there's God's warning that he's given. That's the warning words of the Lord. But I want you to see the rebellious words of the proud. Chapter 43, Jeremiah tells them what they're supposed to do. Here's their response in 43:1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the, what kind of men? Proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. I've been up against this so many times. I've seen people with this where they've said, I want to do God's will. Then you tell them from Scripture, here's what God would have you to do. And they say, God didn't tell you that. Well, I didn't tell you he did. I'm telling you, here's what God has already said. Well, I don't believe it. Why? It doesn't fit their agenda. That's what these people are doing. They promise to obey the word of the Lord. But Jeremiah knew they were hypocrites. How do we know that Jeremiah knew they were hypocrites? We'll go back to chapter 42. Here's what he says in verse 20. For ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that our God shall say, so declare it to us, and we will do it. He said, you dissembled in your hearts. You were hypocrites when you told me that you would do everything that God says. People have asked me before what the Bible says about certain things. I remember a young couple attending here, this years ago, and they had very disobedient children, little kids. And they said, we need help. Would you please show us from the Bible how we can properly, scripturally discipline our children? I said, you know, I'd be glad. In fact, I did a series on this a few years ago. I've got it written out. I'll just go print it out. And I gave it to them, showed them what the Bible says about corporal punishment and so forth. They got mad at me for what the Bible said. And they said, we don't like this. Folks, exactly what you see here. And they didn't come back again. Simply because I told them what the Bible said they should do. They had the verses in front. I said, tell me, what does the Bible say here that you disagree with? Well, we don't think it's loving to spank our kids. I said, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the Bible. You got a problem with God. They were driven. These people were driven by their desire. Here in Jeremiah, look at chapter 42 and verse 22. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. If you go there, Jeremiah says, you're going to die there. I know your desire is to go there. You're going to die there. Don't go. Well, here's why they wanted to go. And this is the last thing I want us to see here. It's found in chapter 44, and I'm jumping through a lot of history here. But they're explaining their rebellious heart in chapter 44. Jump down to verse 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Now notice, they appeal, they plead a bunch of things here. They plead antiquity. This is what Matthew Henry says. They plead antiquity. This is what our fathers did. We're just going to do what our fathers did. They plead authority, verse 17. Our kings and our princes did it. They plead unity, we all. They plead universality in verse 17. It was not done here and there, but in the cities of Judah. They plead visibility in verse 17. They plead prosperity in the last part of verse 17. Look at it. For then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. Have you ever seen the wicked succeed? When you're not. You know what your problem is? You're following the Lord, they will say. Look, when we cheat a little bit, we prosper. When we do things wrong, we prosper. When we do things that is very popular, we prosper. You see what these people are saying? When we used to do what we wanted to do, we had plenty. Everything was supplied. But verse 18, but since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted, we have lacked all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. Ever since we served God, things went bad. Now, folks here at Westside, let me ask you something. Have you ever met somebody who ever had that kind of an attitude? When we serve God, everything goes awry. When we do what we want to do, things prosper. Yeah, for how long? And that's when you come to the end of chapter 44 and God has warned them, don't go to Egypt. They go anyway. Why? Because every time we do what we want to do, things work out. When we do what God wants, it's always problems. That's the context if you get to verse 28 of chapter 44. And the Lord says, you who go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, you shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. How are they going to know? Well, they go to Egypt and they do their own thing and things fall apart. I know of a young lady who was not here in our church, but a young lady who was dating a young man that she should not have been dating. And her dad said, don't date him. I don't think he's a Christian. Well, you know, dads don't know anything. But this young lady obeyed her dad. And my admiration, respect just went way up for her. She did what her dad said. It was the hardest thing for her to do. She did what her dad said. And you know what? They found out what that guy really was like. Oh, I'm so glad I listened to dad. But, you know, young people, when they're in the midst of the dating and marriage, moms and dads don't understand anything. And that same illustration is used for all of us, even as adults, in even doing things that we shouldn't do. Whose word's going to stand, folks? Mine or God's? His word shall stand. Lord, may we always remember